100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. Or should I say, oh God, where did that hour go? Unless you live somewhere that doesn't do all this clock manipulation craziness, then you lucky bastards. Hi, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast, one a day until the day I die.com. Not dead yet. But, you know, the day's not over yet, although it will be over faster than most days. Enough of those crappy, stupid day. Are you sick of day? Is there an original daylight savings time joke out there? Put it in the comments. Oh, right. One a day until the day I die, blah, blah, blah. Oh, weekly challenge. I post the topic, you come up with the stories, send them in. We play them in a weekly challenge. That's this. This episode right here, you get more for your money's worth. And since this is free, well, it doesn't cost you anything. Computer, internet, any fines for blasting it from a clock tower, I don't know. That's your problem. Let's see. Muncie, Jeffrey, Richard, Tom, Aubrey, Serendipity, Lizzie, Marv, Norval Joe, Tora, and Planet Z. They're all a part of this one. And I do not want you to feel like this is some sort of cattle call. Okay, you're next. Okay, you're next. Okay, you're next. No. Each individual story is worth savoring. Take a bite. After you hear a story, hit pause. Take a moment to reflect on it. If you want me to, I can put 2 minutes of silence in there to force you to think about it. To ponder it, its impact, and enjoy it, savor it. Don't just wolf through your food. So, here's my admonition, my rant. Okay, just wolf through it anyway. Let's get on with the show.
Greetings, Timmy, from Munsey. Hear yet again because I never leave. Ready to do this? Too bad, we're doing it anyway. Your Guide by Christopher Monroe. Let your conscience be your guide. Unless you're in a foreign country, in which case I can't stress this enough, hire an actual guide. Guides know the local spots you'd want to see, the best destinations, best restaurants. Wherever you go, guides can help you get the most out of your trip. Plus, they'll keep you from getting lost. And if you've traveled somewhere where you don't speak the language, that's not inconsiderable. So hire a guide and don't skimp on the price. The expense is worth it, and when it comes to tipping, let your conscience be your guide. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. Thanks for letting me be your guide through this story, Timmy, and now I am your conscience. Which is a shame, as I'm basically a sociopath.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 516 on the topic of guide. My first story is called Human Kindness. I watched the blind man use his cane to tap his way along the subway platform. He had trouble finding the escalator, so two young men helped guide him to the right spot. I followed the trio as they made their way into the station. The men helped their new friend through the station and into the bus depot. I entered the depot just in time to hear the blind man thank the men and ask to be pointed toward the ticket counter. My colleagues moved in closely, screening the blind man from any prying eyes, while I robbed the man of his wallet and cell phone. It's so great helping the blind. You're confident that the police won't have a description of the robbers. And my second story is called The Great American Novel. John had quit his job to write the great American novel that he knew lived inside him. He laid out a dozen sharpened pencils, unpacked a ream of paper, and was ready to start. He guided a sheet of paper into his Selectric, no word processor for him, only classic technology, and sat until inspiration struck. 3 hours later, he reviewed his work. A handful of incoherent nouns and verbs, sometimes both in the same sentence, with the occasional random adjective. Word count, 100. He concluded that perhaps the novel was not his métier. He would instead write The Great American Drabble. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, ladies, gentlemen, and others. It's Richard, and after last week's glut of stories, you'll be pleased to know I've hit a famine this week, and I have just one for you. This is the Gospel according to Norman, the Law and Love. You have heard it said, the law is your guide. Those who turn their back on the law are cursed. But I tell you, there is a better way. The law is good, but the enlightened should let love be their guide. For who can doubt that whatever is pursued in love is good and blessed? So I tell you, follow love's guidance, and you'll prosper. Whether love for your wife, your concubine, money and riches, or love for your neighbor's ass, pursue it with all your heart and all your might, no matter what the law may say. Good advice, as always, and I'll say goodbye until next week. Goodbye.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And the countdown continues. 4. Updates. New story average, 16.19. Story total, 8,350. Returns. Welcome back, Planet X-Ray. You pass Chris from Platypus Society and Sojourn Harumph, The Adventures of a Southern Gent. A mere story from returning to the top 50. X-Ray, do you know Terry and Charlie? Speaking of Charlie, he moves ahead of Ellison into the 26th place, a mere 10 weeks from entering the top 20. Lizzie needs 5 stories to become the 9th Iron Monkey. Richard needs 2 stories to become the 7th Iron Monkey. He also slides ahead of Jeffrey to take the 5th place with 367 stories. On a personal note, your humble scribe posts his 800th story to the site, closing in on 1,000. And the first story this evening is Paradiso. Timmy assembled his Vision Quest flight crew, a ceremonial magician, a Mayan shaman, and the personal secretary to the Dalai Lama. His UCLA organic chemistry professor had brewed up a batch of peyote-infused LSD. On day 3, his spirit guide appeared, a 12-foot crimson butterfly named Bruce. "What do you seek?" hissed the dragon. "The edge of the veil." Bruce's wings rent the veil to reveal the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. "What is your name?" She drew her sword across the sand and wrote, "Beatrice." "Oh, shit," said Timmy, and followed her into the mist. Story 2. One Less Dick. Morty hated each and every corporate retreat. Most of all, he detested the trust-building exercises. He squirted lighter fluid during the firewalk, dropped his partner in the backward pitch. When given the R&D encryption key, he traded it for a half a pack of cigarettes. He calculated his odds of being voted off the island as excellent, but the voting didn't turn out as planned. Blindfolded and cuffed, Lorraine of Accounting guided him to the grassy knoll. The sting of the first scorpion triggered panic. Guided by the warmth of the sun, he ran right off the cliff. And the last story. We who stand and bark also serve. Barney was a guide dog. He was a pretty good guide dog, but not particularly lucky guide dog. He was currently on his 12th owner. People just had a habit of dying on the poor dog. Wasn't his fault. Cancer, MS, earthquakes, head-on collisions. Who drowns during a hotel fire? How on earth can a scuba diver get impaled on redwoods in a national forest? Then finally, his luck changed. Little Judy Hunter was healthy, never left the yard, and she fed him these amazing sweet brown candies. They bury Barney with the 49 Hershey wrappers. It seemed only fitting. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Hi, I'm Aubrey Lynn Jepson of aubreylynnjepson.wordpress.com, and here is my story for this week. Creative writing is sort of like hiking a mountain without a guide. You will most likely meander off the beaten path, get lost along the way, and they might have to call a search party. If you're lucky, you make it to the summit, and those things only happen once or twice. If you're not, you'll run into a lot of wannabe guides that think they know the right way to hike a mountain, even though they don't own a pair of hiking shoes and they have never gotten close to a summit before. Don't listen to them. Keep hiking.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. We got sent on one of those team building courses to try and get us to gel. I had serious doubts that it would work. Even so, I played along as we took part in various ridiculous exercises through the day. After building rafts, orienteering and struggling through obstacle courses, I was fed up, so when they announced a game to build trust, I decided enough was enough. I was expected to guide my blindfolded partner through along a forest path, which served to bring the day to an abrupt halt when I guided him straight over a cliff edge.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. We better throw it in the garbage, complained Tim, infuriated. I'll fix it, said Paul. We've been here for ages, Paul. Paul rolled his eyes and continued to work. Forget about it, I tell you. I will fix it. This continued for a few hours, Paul getting more and more aggravated. Suddenly, the thing started purring. See? Said Paul triumphantly. But it's making an odd noise. Paul closed his eyes for a second, gave the thing a swift jerk, and swung it at Tim. What a shame he hadn't followed Tim's words and thrown the damn saw in the garbage. This is my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Marv, and I'm babbling loudly. Back for another weekly challenge of Guide. Here's the story. The professor began the class by donning his white apron along with the tall chef's hat. He then spoke.
Today's session, more of a guide rather than a rigid rule, in the art of poaching and sautéing, he began. Who can give me examples of when you sauté as to when you want to poach?
Hannibal raised his hand. I believe that you want to sauté the sweet meats of the brain in butter with a hint of garlic, as compared to lightly poaching the eyeballs and serving in a red sauce, Professor.
Excellent example, Mr. Lecter. Excellent, the professor beamed.
Well, that's my story for this week's challenge. This is Marv Schnitzelmeyer, and I'm babbling loudly. Until next time.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 516, with a prompt of guide. Without any further ado, here's my story. Apparently shocked by his sudden attack, Polecat stood frozen as Monkey Boy used her head for leverage and leapt over her, dashing toward the primate area of the zoo. Knowing the zoo's layout by heart, having worked the whole summer as a guide, he slipped behind the orangutan exhibit and skidded to a stop at the howler monkeys.
"Count to 20, and then let loose with all you've got," he whispered before doubling back.
A half minute later, all hell broke loose in the monkey cages, with hoots, howls, and screams. He watched, hiding, as Polecat's crew ran toward the diversion. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tura Brazoino here, with a story on the subject, guide. The people complained against the strictness of the laws. General Wei said, "In a well-ordered state, those above guide and those below follow." He replaced the laws by guidelines, and decreed that each citizen rightly apply them to circumstances. The magistrates were reappointed as inspectors. Instead of trials, they held inspections, and instead of punishments, they made recommendations, enforced by their officers. Henceforth, when a thief was hanged for a sack of rice, the people no longer said, "See the injustice of the law," but, "See the injustice of this criminal." Thus, by the rectification of names, was order restored.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Billy's high school girlfriend volunteered as a tour guide to the local art museum. Then she dumped him and started dating another volunteer tour guide. Billy swore he'd have his revenge. So he spent all his time in the basement working on a robotic tour guide. The art museum would use the robot and get rid of volunteers. And after weeks of tinkering with gyroscoping, balancing, and interactive voice prompts, he made the robot. It worked brilliantly. The art museum got rid of their volunteers, which gave his girlfriend and her boyfriend lots of free time to screw around more.
Is that it? Is that all? Do we have any protesters disrupting this?
No, it's our free speech. Disrupt your free speech and...
whatever. It all results in people having the right to swing their fists up to the point where it breaks somebody's fucking face. Whatever. All right. That's it for this... That's it for this week and the weekly challenge, 100-word stories. I hope you enjoyed them. I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them immensely. I'm not gonna... Well, let's ponder it. Is this their free speech right to be in the weekly challenge? Well, it's my server, and it's my bandwidth, and my colo. It's my ass on the line if something goes wrong, and so, "Oh, that incited terror. Well, you hosted it, blah, blah, blah." I don't know. What do you think? Do you have the right to spray paint on my car your 97 theses? Or carve them in my face? Or kill a bunch of cats and spell them out on the highway for Google Maps and the satellites to read? I don't think so. Oh well. Life goes on, right? It's all a bunch of buzzwords and marketing. Not here. We write literature. One a day until the day I die.com. I will see you next week. The topic will be King. Thank you very much for being a part of this. And as always, from the bottom of my clotted heart, keep it brief.